Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, thank you for your wonderful provisions of our life, and thank you for life on this earth, and may we appreciate all that you have given us, including our salvation through Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. I am very glad for every opportunity that I have to worship our Lord God. And a few days ago, I attended a wonderful prayer meeting with about 40 prayer warriors. There was prayer for our world and our nation, many of the leaders, that they would come to know Jesus Christ. And there was prayer for our state and our region and our city and the neighborhoods and the churches and the family of Christ. There was prayer for our children and our family, prayer for the restoration of our nation's founding principles and our Constitution. And this church was just a regular old church. It was not full of conservatives or anything else. It was just those concerned with having Jesus Christ in the world. And that was the direction of prayer in that prayer hour. There was much prayer about our community, the larger community of Jesus Christ, and living according to God's will. There was prayer for the schooling and prayer against COVID, prayer for the unsaved, and prayer for our enemies. You see, if our enemies follow Christ, then they would no longer be our enemies. Therefore, we want the world to become Christ-loving and Christ-following. So in this world, there is plenty of people who must make a stand with Jesus Christ. And there are plenty who have the other attitude of ungodly activity. And, oh yes, we do see it. We see people in this world divided between God-oriented and world-oriented. And the difference can be quite obvious between the two different orientations. It's even as obvious as the world who wants to love one another and the world that wants to separate you from the love of God and the love of other people. It's quite a difference if you really look to what the fundamentals are of these two different groups of people. And what a difference it would be if we had strangers in this world who would actually care for and love one another. And that's kind of the way it is with our Christian family, that we want the kingdom of God to live here among us on earth. where there is love and grace and mercy. And just think, we are the ambassadors of Jesus Christ. And oh, what joy we have when we can discern this and that in the world and not be deceived. That's what we pray for. That's what we practice in life. Maybe you've heard about, it was about a month ago, there was a pastor in Tennessee who proclaimed to his congregation that the Bible was not the Word of God. Now, apparently he said that because the Bible was not matching up with the way of the world. Well, it was a tragic event for that to happen, for the pastor, for the church, that congregation, that poor congregation. But we can use an event such as that to know that we must not let our guard down, that we must be aware at all times of the spiritual battle that is going on. And we do live in perilous times. And apparently these are the perilous times that the Bible spoke of. That's the world we live in. And just we have to be aware and prayerful. That will help us get through everything. In the last week, it's been a kind of interesting week. I have talked to more than a few people and been surprised at the direction the conversation went. And I have to always wonder, am I influencing the conversation or is it them who bring things up? And I think it was just them who brought up the conversation with concern about how this world is going in two different directions here in this country. Two different belief systems are coming about. And pretty much it means the difference between a conservative view and a liberal or progressive view. So people have been aware of that, and then they question, what kind of a conflict could be coming. Plenty of people are seeing conflict with these two different points of view. There are even people who wonder if there will be an open conflict between conservatives and the other side. Would there be chaos coming to our life, to our world? And I think an example of that chaos is what happens when there is a widespread, the chaos of a riot. And you know, after a riot, things close down and never open up. And then with stores that don't open, you don't have your groceries, you don't have your gasoline, your clothes, or any other of the normal things that you grew accustomed to. When the stores close down, or the stores are destroyed, as in a riot, that is what happens. And so, I think there are reasonable and ordinary people who would recognize that the choices they make have those consequences. So, there's a lot of people who don't want that kind of decay that would happen if there were a great conflict between conservatives and liberals. They don't want riots. And if you are thinking of what could happen to your normal supplies of food and water and other supplies, well, that's a reason for concern. And concern is good and appropriate. If you look at the places that have had that kind of civil unrest, things just don't return to a normal way of life. Not in our country where we have seen riots, and not in other countries that have seen riots. So let's just think about what our actions really mean. There are also people who expect that life will not return to normal after this corona COVID problem. Oh, sure, it may settle down, but there's so many who see the problem is not over that there will be further COVID coming along and more restrictions on the population. And that would mean there would be more businesses closing and less jobs and less freedom, more restrictions. That's what could be coming. And could that also be a part of that great reset that is talked about by the rich and powerful elite people of this world? Yes, and that makes me think of the great reset described in that open letter from the nuncio and Archbishop Carlo Vigano to President Trump. That was dated October 25th, 2020. And you can easily look it up if you want to. I bring it up just now to say that there are forces going on for one thing and another, and we must be careful what we participate in, agree to, talk about, or anything like that. So, think about the things as they are going, and try to make things positive and wonderful, and recognize that if the system is destroyed, we are going to really have a hard time. And there are people who talk about this collapse coming. Yes, call it the Great Reset. And there's so many people talking about it in the elite circles, like the World Economic Forum. And if you look, you will hear the politicians talking about the Build Back Better slogan. And that has to be a destruction for something to be built back. And it's a question of what is coming and what are we going to put up with? What are we going to allow? Do we really have a choice in it? Or is that just the one world system coming into reality? Well, we do have to be watchful, because if you look at the kind of things that those, well, powers that be are talking about, we are looking at a future with a collapsed economy and very changed societal structure and a new value system. That's what it seems like those elite leaders are talking about, and we just have to be careful. Are we going to go along with it? Maybe we have no choice, but there's always at least something we can do to talk about what's going on and bring an awareness so that we can at least oppose it through prayer and through a social conversation. Every little bit that we do can make a difference to postponing that kind of a one-world system. And it just might come about anyway, right here in the USA, right everywhere around the world. But I was starting out to talk about the people who I have been in conversation with, that there are a lot more people now expecting new things to come around that it would include violence and chaos and a new order. So I'm not pleased to be talking about those things, but if I didn't talk about those things that I hear, I think it would be a big disservice to those who are listening. So I want to talk about what is going on around us, what I hear. And you know that with my point of view, I see a spiritual battle with spiritual consequences all around us, certainly in our own country. And we have a country that is, it's not following godly ways. And in fact, we have both the practice and the legality of things which God says are an abomination to Him, to God. And so now our laws are calling, they're conflicting with what God says is wrong. And we, certain people, are saying is right. It's a conflict. And so we have this spiritual battle, and there could be consequences from that spiritual battle. It could be very, very serious. If God either gives us consequences or allows consequences. So, yeah, we can expect that. We can expect various areas that affect our life as having, consequences. And one of them could very well be a great economic collapse. And I know that I have talked about this one way or another for several years now, because it is so obvious to me. It's obvious from a worldly point of view and from a spiritual point of view. The economic laws around us say that it will happen, but we just don't know when. The timing is a question. And I am not alone in my views. In the past, I have named people who agree. I've named their names and their positions, who did not think the U.S. economy would remain stable very long. But it has. Our economy has continued, and I can only say that we will see what we will see, because what I and some other people see is that the course is set. Let's say the handwriting is on the wall. What will really happen? How it will happen? The timing of it? Well, we just don't quite know that one, but we can say the results are certain. Just like we can say a one world order will come, but can we postpone it? I think we have been postponing it, and I'm so glad that we are. A few days ago, I heard a Federal Reserve person say, "Our economy is on fire." And I wondered if that meant the economy markets were good and hot, or if on fire meant they were burning up. Well, I laughed out loud when I heard that, so I didn't get to hear the name of the person who said it, but I did think it was funny. Anyway, from what I see, there is no way that we can avoid some really big economic difficulty, and including hyperinflation. Oh, yes, not immediately. It won't happen next week or next month. But after a while, it is bound to occur, because the USA keeps creating dollars, both the physical dollars and the ones on a computer screen. Here's an example of how excessive our creation of dollars is. In 2020, January 2020, the U.S. had $4 trillion. And a year later, in January 2021, the U.S. had $6.7 trillion. That is a 40% increase of created dollars, printed or on computer screens. 4 trillion to 6.7 trillion. 40% of all the U.S. dollars were created between January 2020 and January 2021. So that's not technical hyperinflation, but it certainly is in that direction. Hyperinflation starts out as regular inflation, and then it gets very much out of control. Oh, as let me look at my notes here. There's countries that have had hyperinflation that are famous and we know about. In 1922 or so in Germany, it got to the point where their currency, they needed twice as many dollars to, not mark, dollars, but marks, twice as much money to buy something in 3 days. So that was the prices doubling every day or the money depreciating that much every 3 days. And it got worse as the century continued. In 1946, Austria, the currency doubled. The currency needed to buy something doubled every day. In 1993, Yugoslavia, it doubled every day. In 2008, in Zimbabwe, it doubled every day. In 2013, or a few years after that, Venezuela also doubled every few days. So in each of those countries, the central bankers knew that they did not want hyperinflation. And yet the government and the people wanted it, and they wanted the money, and they demanded more money. And with the demand of more money, it did make more inflation that quickly led to hyperinflation. So you might think nowadays we in the United States know better than to do that. You might think that we would never, ever let that happen here. But just look back to that year, 2020. Like I said, in that year, the dollar supply increased, and our national debt also increased. Let's see, in 2020, our national debt went from $23.2 trillion to $27.7 trillion. So, yeah, that's not hyperinflation, but it sure is inflation going in that direction. We have forces going on that are going to cause great instability in our country. One of the things that people have noticed is the COVID relief money. See, the COVID relief money is giving money to the people. It is a step towards universal basic income, where the government pays everyone a basic income every month, whether they work or not. So that's a little bit the way it worked on in their COVID relief payments. It's a step towards the universal basic income concept. And of course, it's not there, but like I said, it's a step. Will it happen? Yeah, it just might happen. We'll see. The problem that I see coming is inflation continuing to such a degree that the businesses cannot function. And that's what happened in those other countries, in Germany, Austria, Yugoslavia, Zimbabwe, Venezuela. Pretty soon, the money becomes so unstable that the businesses cannot function. The gap between the time things are produced, the payment is required, and the payment is made, all those things make for such instability in the nation, its economy, that the businesses cannot continue. And it looks to me like that kind of a trouble is in our future. Right, not immediately, but soon enough. And what can we do in such an event? What we can do is quite limited. Well, we want to not overspend our money, because while we think about repaying our debt in devalued money, and that is a good thing. That is really and truly a good thing. But the problem that happens with that thought or plan is that the businesses cannot function. And if the businesses cannot function, the economy falls down, the jobs go away, the government also can't function. And that's the problem when people think of paying off a debt with cheaper dollars. It can't happen because the businesses fail, the government fails, the entire country fails. So it's kind of a balancing act as we go through the process of dealing with inflation. You have to make that balancing act between buying what you need, buying what you want, buying what you see is necessary for the future, and then having the money to pay for it. So we just have to remember that as we are thinking in that way, we have to remember not to overspend and that we do not want to increase our debt. That's why I call it a balancing act in my own terms. Speaking of jobs, last week I ate at a regular but nice local restaurant outside. And while I don't know the details, I do know that I talked to the manager for just a few minutes. And she said that they had been trying to hire people for over 2 months now, and they could not find anybody to work for over 2 months now. And so I just had to think, is that because people are getting the COVID relief money that they didn't need a job? I'm not sure. I didn't pursue that conversation, but I know that that is the way things can go. And on the subject of restaurants, I know there was another restaurant in the news just a few days ago, Lee's Famous Recipe Restaurant in Inglewood. They only do drive-in now, not drive-in, drive-through now, and they are now using artificial intelligence to take orders. I'm not sure quite what it means, except that our world is changing. That is so true. Is it because they couldn't find people to work, or is it for a reliability of a workforce? I don't know. But it does show that we are living in a changing world. AI order taker. Interesting. Well, speaking about the economy, I remember a few years ago, this was when I named the names of the big asset fund managers. There were about a dozen of them. I took a sentence or two out of what they said to indicate that our economy would not continue in a good way. In fact, it would crash. On that broadcast, I also said that there was Baron Jacob Rothschild, who said basically the same thing, that it can't continue, and that means it's going to be a depression greater than the Great Depression. So it didn't happen. All those people, those dozen asset fund managers and other people have said, it can't go on. We're going to have an economic crash. But it has kept going. And therefore, I have to wonder how long it's going to continue when the fundamental economic principles are, well, they're postponed. How long? We don't know. But we just wonder. I know that one of the things I wonder about is the cyber money and how it will interact with all things. Oh, yes, the internet of all things. And how is the world being prepared for that beast system to come along when we Christians will no longer be able to buy or sell? At that point, we can expect to be persecuted, and that is what the Bible talks about. So what are we doing to have any preparations for that? Should we be thinking about that in advance? Is there anything we should be doing? Are there things that we need? Yeah, I wonder about that. And I think we can get a little prepared for, sure, the beast system. But let's take it on a more immediate basis and look at what's going on. In other places of the world, I think of Texas, of course, where a whole lot of people are without electricity and without water. I think about, electrical outages. I think about other systems in the world, other places in the world too. But right here, this is my backyard, so I think about that. I think about the people I know and love, including my family. But we have to just look at what's going on and try to recognize what could be going on in the long run. And every one of us will see it different. But the electric situation in Texas makes me think about what else could happen. I think of the coronal mass ejection from the sun. I think of the electromagnetic pulse from a nuclear weapon. Either of those two things could cause our grid to completely melt, completely fail, be completely non-functional. And then are the super large transformers in our electrical grid would all have to be replaced. There are 30 some of them, I think it was 38, 39 of them, that are all over the United States. And the United States doesn't build them anymore. We would have to get them from overseas, like South Korea or Germany. And you know, they can only build them so fast. They only have the capacity to build one of those super large massive transformers every year. And if you think about transporting them, that's another problem. They are so heavy that normal equipment cannot even move them. They're huge. So with a factory overseas taking 1 year to build, well, we would be in a very difficult position if the electrical grid went down in the United States due to a EMP or a CME, coronal mass ejection, or electromagnetic pulse. So there has been stated that if that happened, the USA would be without power for 5 or 10 years, maybe longer. And that's what the Congressional EMP report said. And it came out in 2008, and then it was released with additional information a couple of years later. Twice more. But Congress has done nothing at all to strengthen our electrical grid. They call it hardening our electrical grid. And certainly, if you want more information, it's easy to look up. Go to the EMP Commission report. Peter Pry did so much work on that. And another person who did work on the electromagnetic pulse or our grid going down was Ted Koppel, who wrote a book, Lights Out. That was in 2016. I think it's interesting that after he wrote that book, he bought his children and grandchildren a several-year supply of food for each of them. So they take that seriously. And that Peter Pry, he took that threat seriously also. And after the years that he spent serving Congress and creating that report, he went around the country giving lectures about how serious this threat is to America. Yeah. Dr. Peter Pry reported to Congress that if the electrical grid went down for 1 year, between 60 and 90% of the U.S. population would die. And I've heard people comment on that, that Peter Pry report to Congress, and they use that number, 90% of the U.S. population would die. But I know because I read that report that it said between 60 and 90% of the U.S. population would die after 1 year of being without electricity. Well, either way, it's a tremendously tragic event if it were to happen. Yep, either way, have a look at that report and think about what you can do today to get a few things. To me, it's food and water, or better yet, a water filter. And I think there are some pretty cheap insurances that you can get. And that insurance is to have on hand your own water and food, water filter. And I think of grains, because grains keep their nutrition longer, whole grains do, and a whole grain can be used to plant a crop by you, if that ever becomes necessary. Some people will want to have that really good dehydrated food, and that's great if you can afford it. By all means, get that better tasting dehydrated food. And if you can't, you can get the more basic foods like whole wheat, white rice, a grain manual grain grinder, sugar, salt, and olive oil, and vitamins, and spices, and flavorings, and a cast iron pot with a lid. And you will want cast iron because your body needs iron to stay healthy. Your blood needs the iron. And then you will want to have iodized salt also, because that's a source of iodine, and there's not too many sources in food for iron and iodine. Well, there are sources. It's just that they're not common in a survival diet. So there are things that you will want to have for the just in case. And you can always get my preparedness pamphlet. It's free. I'll tell you about that at the end of the broadcast. Yeah, well, about that iodized salt, it's kind of interesting to me because I have found that there are canning books that tell you to use non-iodized salt. And the reason they do that is because if you used iodized salt, it gives the food that you can a bit of a brown color. And so most people do not like that extra color in their jars of home canned foods. So that's why they say not to use iodized salt. But iodine is nutritionally necessary. So I say, yeah, you might want to use it. Anyway, to keep your body healthy. Well, there are different reports that you can use to get different information for what you might need. Lots of people have the reports, and you can get them online, or you can get them often enough in person also. but it takes your looking and discerning what it is you want to get. I think there's another report that I would say, speaking of a government report, it was the 2018 President's National Infrastructure Advisory Council. And that report talked about various threats to the citizens of the United States, specifically due to cyber threats from various countries or even by domestic terrorism. It noted that every American ought to have provisions, food, and water for an extended period of time. Somewhere in that report, it talked about a six-month period of time in case there was an electrical outage or grid-down situation. And a part of that is that because our water systems are computerized, it could even affect the municipal water systems of our nation. And, of course, we don't know that anything like that would happen, but we do know that if it were to happen, the results would be very severe for everyone. And with that understanding, it just makes a lot of people want to get some food storage, or you could call it food insurance, for just in case. And then, can I suggest that you get it now? Now, while it is easily available? A lot of people think it's a great idea, but they still just don't do it. And there are decisions that have to be made about what you get, what the quality of it is, and that is a question everybody just has to decide for themselves. How much will it cost? Where will I store it? Questions. But I think of it as cheap insurance if you really consider what would happen to your family and your friends. It's not very good to go without food for a few days. And if you remember, there have been times when there have been shortages of food. Often enough, it's when there is a natural disaster, like a wind event, hurricane, a tornado approaching. And if you will look at what happens after an event like that, the store shelves do not get restocked immediately. It takes a few months, sometimes weeks, sometimes months, to get restocked. So you will want to remember to get things while they are available. And can I bring your attention back a few months or more than that, but less than a year, I guess. Yep. To the toilet paper shortage. And there were people who couldn't find any toilet paper at all for that week. So it's a time to look at the examples and realize that you might want to take some steps of preparedness. Of course, use wisdom and do things that are sensible to you. Don't put it off until the last minute, until everybody knows there is a problem coming. If you do that, then all the food and supplies will be hard to find. Maybe you won't find anything. And if you do find them, they probably will be more expensive than they would have cost in normal times. So look at it. Look at the things around you. Get your preparedness lists and some ideas together, and then you do what makes sense to you. Lots of lists are available. Some are long, some are short. But whatever it is, let it be personal to you so you can look at it. And if you don't have a lot of money, you can still make a list. For $30 or $40, you can get those very most basic items. Oh, you can get 1 or 2 5-gallon plastic buckets. You can get sugar, salt, and oil, white rice, beans, or legumes. You can get vitamins and spices and salt and pepper. Oh, It's just that you can do something, and you can always start with something. Get a few gallons of water. That's something. All of these things are affordable. You don't have to get that great big so many month supply. You can just get something. Everybody has to start somewhere. And if you do get that little supply of a few 5-gallon buckets that you put together, you can get a new supply. You can start all over again with a new system. And then you can give those simple 5-gallon buckets to somebody that needs help sometime. Or there might be people coming to you in an emergency and they need something. So even those simple 5-gallon plastic buckets with the basic foods in them, those can be very, very helpful to other people down the line. Oh, and it's always a good idea to kill the insect larvae or eggs that probably are in every bit of fresh grain that we get. And so there's a couple of things you can do. You can get a few spoonfuls of diatomaceous earth and mix it in with your grains. You can get dry ice and put it among your grains. It gives off carbon dioxide, and then the bugs can't live in that. But probably the best thing you can do is to get oxygen absorbers and put them into a sealed container according to the directions. And that's probably the best. Oxygen absorbers, they tell you right on there what to do. But you still have to look. You have to look and decide what makes sense to you. There are ideas, and of course everybody has their own ideas and their own budget, and you look at what makes sense to you. Basic tools are good. Oh, nails, hammer and nails are good. Sheetrock screws of different lengths, and a screwdriver, and pliers, and crescent wrench, wire cutters, maybe an electric multimeter, a string and wire and rope and tape. All these things are good. And let me mention plywood, because whenever there is a disaster of any kind, plywood is very quickly gone from the stores. I mean, it might be in an hour that all their plywood is gone. So if you have a couple of sheets of plywood just set aside, they could be so very handy for closing a doorway or covering a window. That plywood is just really, really handy. So, other things you might want to have on hand is a knife of some kind and a flashlight. Oh, and plenty of batteries, matches, and soap. Soap. You can have various kinds of soap, laundry soap, dish soap, bath soap. It's all good, and it's all handy. There's a couple of other things that are useful. If you ever have to transport water from one place to another, get a child's wagon. That's good. A bicycle might be handy. Again, I'm thinking of that grid-down situation. And maybe a manual tire pump or a tire tube repair kit. There are just things that are good to have around, and if you can get them at a good price, get them. It's that just in case. The water filters, you probably have to buy new, but there are different ways to filter water. Oh, that's another study. So have water on hand and a water filter. That's just basically. Even in the United States, there have been places where for several weeks, fresh drinkable water was not available. It might have been because of freezing weather. It might have been from floods. It might have been from a system failure. There are reasons that we don't have water available, drinking water. So always consider that. It's one of your preparation things. You know, even speaking of water, just days ago there was a report that the Sierra Nevada snowpack was 61% of normal. And the Lake Shasta, that is 50% full. Lake Oroville is 38% full. So we just might be in for another year of drought and fires and water shortages. It's you can see that it might be coming, so get a little prepared for it. There's all sorts of concerns. What is yours? I know there are people concerned about the U.S. birth rates, that the birth rate going down will cause our economy to go down, our Social Security to be unstable. Lots of long-term things could happen. And we just want to remember that it is a spiritual battle we are in. And we want to prepare for that too. Help other people to know Jesus Christ. But for the problems that may very well confront us in the next year, we want to use godly wisdom. And there is a point for worldly wisdom also. I know I think of Benjamin Franklin, who said, "An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure." And that is what he said. But the Bible says it in different ways too. The Bible wisdom is more expansive. It is fuller. It is applying to more circumstances in different ways. There's a Bible theme that you should live with preparedness. I mean, that's right there by Proverbs and the Psalms and the New Testament Gospel. It just doesn't say it as concisely as Benjamin Franklin. So it helps to know the Bible. It helps to apply the lessons of the Bible in appropriate time and places in our life. So read that good book. Know the Bible. And then you'll be able to recognize how many times the world uses biblical themes in its wisdom or its entertainment. I mean, just look at the apocalyptic movies where some kind of an ark is needed or a spaceship is needed. I think even that 1960s song, "To Every Season, Turn, Turn, Turn," that's right out of Ecclesiastes 3. And they're just stories that come right out of the Bible. So if you know the Bible, you're doing pretty good. It illustrates the importance of preparing and having things for the future. Being able to help people. Those are all biblical stories. And yes, we know them out of popular stories or movies or things, but they were in the Bible first. So look at, again, the Psalms, the Proverbs, and the New Testament Gospels. They all have it. You can learn to apply the biblical principles by what circumstances are just plain in front of you. It's good to seek understanding. We know the importance of good food and good water. There, that's Bible too. You can have the example of King David appreciating water from the spring of Jerusalem, even though he poured it out as an offering to our Lord God. Yet, we see that water is an important part necessary for life and for the temple sacrifices. And food was always stored from year to year. Of course, there's Joseph in Egypt. But we also see the examples of, if there ever was a crop failure in one year, they would have enough grain to plant the year following a failed crop. So, yes, Bible lessons are there. Read the Bible for yourself. Ask God to show you what examples you can apply to your life Bible examples, they're right there. I also know people who say there is no need to store up, and they use Matthew 5:25 out of that, where it talks about the lilies of the field have no worry about food or clothes or storing up treasures. And so, do not worry. They say God will provide. And, well, yes, but I know that they do think about the things when their gas gets low, when their groceries get low, when they need things. They still think about it. So I would say, Matthew 6:25, I agree, do not worry, but it doesn't say don't think about the things that just might confront you. Think about them and try to understand what it is in your life that the Bible is trying to show you. We can apply the lessons that don't seem to apply. You can think about what you should be buying. Should you be buying Bitcoin or a car or food or something like that, or making donations to other people who have needs? All these things are questions, and you pray about them and you find a guidance. Even with the thousands of small satellites that Elon Musk is putting up for worldwide communications. Is that good? Is that something the Bible would support? Well, there is a certain respect for individuality and freedom that the Bible has. And so you get those lessons also. You get lessons about history. Should we know the history of our founding fathers or of our Bible? Should the education be taught only in terms of whom our alternative lifestyle people were in history? We all can think about these things and apply these lessons to our daily life. What will our orientation be? It's there for us to try to understand and to live by. We do want to be concerned about the things on the horizon, because there are people who are noting there are storm clouds on the horizon and that they are coming our way. So let us remember to prayerfully examine the things that are right in front of us for us to see. And as we look and as we live, let's remember some of the things in the Bible, like, be ye holy, for I am holy. 1 Peter 1:16. So, live holy. Let us desire to live holy and strive to do that with our life, with our mind, will, and emotion. And remember, for any broadcast of Christ Today, you can listen to it again by going to www.christtoday.org, all lowercase and no spaces. You're welcome to write me for my free preparedness pamphlet. And if you could send along a stamped self-addressed envelope, that would be great, to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And may you walk with God, and may God walk with you. Give me passion that pours out to every nation. Shine your light, I am yours.